Hello, Beyond the Uniformers. This is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Micron Technology. I met today's guest, Art Banky, about 5 months ago, and we've stayed in touch since then. As Art learned about the work I was doing with Beyond the Uniform, he championed within Micron to receive financial support for Beyond the Uniform. I'm grateful to both Art and Micron Technology for supporting our mission and giving us some financial resources to continue to keep Beyond the Uniform free for our audience. In addition to his generosity with this, Art has also offered to make himself available to 20 listeners from Beyond the Uniform. He'll schedule a call, do a free resume review, and answer your questions about career transition, as well as answer any questions you may have about the semiconductor industry as well as Micron Technology. You can sign up for this at beyondtheuniform.org/micron. That's M-I-C-R-O-N. Don't wait, because those 20 spots will go quickly. That's beyondtheuniform.org/micron. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support members of the military to reach their peak potential in their civilian career. Today's episode number 350, The Semiconductor Industry and Micron Technology with Art Banky.
Just recently, in the past few days, Micron's now working with another company. So as hospitals have respirators and they reach the end of their service life or they break, they basically get warehoused. Micron's working with another company to pull these respirators, to consolidate them out of warehouses and basically take some of our technicians and go through new PMs, preventive maintenances, or repairs on them and troubleshoot them to get respirators back up. Because we know as a global society, we're going to need this stuff to help people get through this pandemic and come out the backside.
A lot of veterans I speak with are interested in technology. Most of us in the military get a fair amount of experience with technology, and we hear about the high growth this industry has seen. It's pretty broad for a term. To me, 10 years out of the military, hearing someone refer to tech feels like someone referring to the military. It's a great catch-all phrase, but there's so much beyond that high-level term. Branch of service, MOS, warfare specialty, etc. It's the same way in technology. Today's interview feels like a gateway to that world of tech. My guest, Art, works at a company called Micron Technologies, which is in the semiconductor industry, which, as you'll learn, is a foundational element in pretty much every technology industry. Drones, autonomous vehicles, tablets, social media, it's everywhere. I don't think I've ever had an interview that has packed in so much information at the end. I really try to keep these interviews to 45 to 50 minutes based on feedback I've received from our audience. Today was a rare case where we kept going because there was so much richness in what Art was sharing. We talk about translating one's experience on both a resume and an interview. We talk about diversity of perspective as a strength when one is applying to a job. We talk about three things I rarely hear in these interviews: how important it is to evaluate a company by the size of the company and what this offers to you in terms of both community and mentorship opportunities, evaluating a company's team and how those individuals will challenge and support you to grow, and also looking at how a company behaves in a crisis like the one we're going through right now. All of these are fantastic lenses through which to evaluate a company and job opportunity, and they've never really come up in the 340 episodes that preceded this one. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find 350 other free episodes just like this one. You'll find show notes with links to everything we discussed today, and you'll also find a special limited-time offer at beyondtheuniform.org/micron. That's M-I-C-R-O-N, where Art is graciously offering to connect with 20 of you to help you with your resume and answer your questions about job transitioning. Side note, that's based on thousands of interviews that he's conducted, the semiconductor industry and Micron Technology as well. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Art Banky. Dive. Joining me today in Highland, Utah, about 30 minutes outside of Salt Lake City, my guest today is Art Banky. Art, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Oh, thank you, Justin. Glad to be here and glad to help transitioning veterans figure out what their next chapter in life is.
Well, let me give listeners a very brief bio. Art is a manager of talent acquisition at Micron Technologies, which is a world leader in innovative memory solutions that transform how the world uses information. Micron Technologies has over 37,000 team members in 18 countries who work with the world's most trusted brands, delivering memory and storage systems for a broad range of applications and sparking countless possibilities in technology. Art served in the Marine Corps for 21 years as an F-18 Hornet WSO and is a graduate of the Top Gun program. He has held a wide variety of roles throughout his career and has completed 173 combat flights with 2,500 total flight hours. He has completed an MBA and is a graduate of the Naval War College. So Art, maybe to start things off, anything to add to that bio?
No, that bio, I think you nailed it. You definitely hit all the pertinent stuff with Micron as well. So thank you for that. And I think that pretty much summarizes it.
Awesome. Well, let's start with your unique background, over 21 years in the Marine Corps, flying Hornets as a weapons systems officer. One would imagine that for a fighter pilot, the transition would be an easy one. What was it like?
Well, first off, one quick correction on that. So I don't want to claim that as a fighter pilot. As a WSO, as a weapons systems officer, so as a backseater, or if you saw Top Gun back in the day, it would have been Goose, right? So I want to claim that as a pilot. But first off, that was a phenomenal job, and I loved every second of it. It gave me some very unique opportunities and the ability to travel the world both by myself and with my family, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. As far as to your question about transitioning and how that was, I wouldn't say it was easy. I think the easy transition is the rarity, and those are few and far between. I would describe my transition as deliberate. I knew that in order to land where I wanted to end up with my family and myself and find a company and a career that was rewarding, I needed to take a methodical approach to it and figure out what I wanted, what I found rewarding in my past career, and what I wanted out of my future career. And looking at that, some of the advice I'd give to transitioning veterans is, first and foremost, don't do a direct comparison of your journey with anyone else's, because everyone's transitioning journey is slightly different, and you have to respect that. The second thing is, probably most importantly, plan ahead. I think all too often when I talk to transitioning military members, they really put it off to like the last 3 or 4 months. And that planning for a second career really needs to start a year, if not 2 years in advance. And that, I think, would be the most sound advice I could give a transitioning veteran, especially in today's climate. I mean, the world has completely changed in 30 days. 30 days ago, the U.S. unemployment was at 3.5%. And in the past week, we've had, I think, 9.9 million people claim unemployment. So be deliberate about your transition and plan ahead.
Mm. I love both of those pieces of advice. The first one, the comparison piece, I think is such a big one in everything, but especially in the transition. Like, it's just not apples and apples. Everyone has different expectations and needs and desires, and you can't really compare yourself to what they're doing. And then on the timing piece, I think of probably 15 or 20 different people I've interviewed where they were injured and they faced their transition unexpectedly from the military. And so I like what you're saying of like that advanced planning or thinking as far in advance as possible. It seems like that allows you to better cope with changes in the environment or your own situation. So I really appreciate both of those pieces of advice. Could you share with us about your job search and what the decision-making process was like and what ultimately landed you at IM Flash as your first job out of the military?
Yeah, absolutely. And you do say IM Flash, and that was my first job, and that was a joint venture between Intel and Micron. However, Micron owned 51% of it. Now I work completely at Micron. So while my first career started with IM Flash, I also consider it having started with Micron about 3.5 years ago or so. So to answer that, that really is a carries forward from the first question about that deliberate planning. And I think for many large decisions in life, the first thing people need to do is be introspective about who they are and where they're going to find fulfillment. For me, and I think for many veterans, the reason why we go into the service is to be part of something larger than ourselves and to have a vast impact and a positive impact. So that's definitely something I wanted to carry forward. I looked at a number of my peers and colleagues who had transitioned, and a large number ended up going to GS jobs or general servant jobs or contractor jobs. And while some of those were desirable, I felt like after 21 years, I wanted to push the envelope and do something outside that realm and more in the corporate sector. The other very unique thing about a transition is whether you're in the military for 4 years or 34 years, you are going to have your desires, but ultimately comes down to what the needs of the military are. So when you transition, it's really the first time in your career or the first time in a long while where you can drive more of that. And for those that have spouses and families, I highly encourage that you involve the family in that decision. So in doing so, that's what I did. And in doing so, my family and I, when I say my family, yes, my wife and kids, my two kids were part of it as well. We decided where we wanted to live first. And it came down to four geolocations of Oahu, Seattle, Denver, and Salt Lake City. And then basically my wife and my son, through two different random acts, decided that we were going to Salt Lake City. So once we moved here, then I started looking at the job market and what it was. And to my benefit, and I shouldn't say once we moved here, because like we did do a lot of methodical research ahead of time. But Utah's job industry is phenomenal. I think it's been the number two growing state for like 3 years running or something. And then there's a little hub here called Silicon Slopes, based around Lehi, Utah, which is right where Micron Technologies Utah is. Silicon Slopes is a hub of technology companies from Qualtrics to Adobe and Oracle and Vivint, Nuvi and Scipio, and you could go down the list to list off a dozen more, if not more, as well as a few unicorn companies. So that was very nice. When we moved here and I started looking up and down Silicon Slopes, which is for all practical purposes in my backyard, the next part of that journey was really figuring out what was rewarding for me. And if you go back to why I joined the Marine Corps, it was to be part of something larger than myself and to have a broad impact. Working for a company like Micron nails that, because Micron is ubiquitous and it's virtually in everything you do or interact with throughout your electronic day or ever-changing world. And so to be able to impact that in a minor way is very rewarding to myself. So hopefully that answered that question. I'm guessing throughout this conversation, we may dive into a little bit more about Micron, but long-winded answer to a short question.
So one of the things you touched on that I don't think has actually come up a lot is I love the way that you talked about involving your family. And I actually get excited when you talk about narrowing it down to those four locations and then ultimately one. I think that most people that I have on the show, they're hesitant to put any sort of constraints around what they're looking for in the hope that being more open will make it easier to find a job. But the process that you defined, you know, your specific stake in the ground was geographic location, then you're really able to network in that area, look at the job opportunities, compare things side by side. It just makes things so much easier, which goes contrary to what most people think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to jump in there just a little bit. As I transitioned, that was some of the advice I got from various people was don't limit yourself, say you'll go anywhere. And there's definitely some truth to that. But then working in talent acquisition, I see it all too often where if someone comes with you to try to figure out what they want to do and they're too broad, it becomes really difficult to help them find what they want because you don't know what they want. So even though you don't want to rule opportunities out, you still need to, when you're reaching out and working with people to figure out where you're going to end up, you still need to help them help you, whether that is narrowing it down to, you know, 2, 3, or 4 fields that you want to work in, or whether it's, you know, a couple companies to work for, or a couple geolocations. All that helps.
I love that. I mean, I'm thinking you and I have had difficulty scheduling because I'm on this project right now, and my wife and I are literally connecting this weekend to set aside time to say, look, this project I've been working on hasn't been good for our family. And we're literally just going to map out what is exactly the schedule that we want, what is the exact circumstances we want for our family. And that's the filter through which I will say yes or no to opportunities. And for me, it's so liberating to put constraints and structure around something that could be really nebulous or really unwieldy. And so again, I just want to reiterate for listeners, like the adding conditions, adding structure, adding yeses and nos that are clear for you will make things easier. And of course, you can take that too far and be too restrictive, but you'll get pretty quick feedback from the market. If you're saying, I'm only going to, you know, get out of the military and be CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you'll probably get immediate feedback that that's not going to be possible, but there might be a path there through some other means. So, and then the other thing, the other thing that I wanted to touch on was, one of the reasons I was so excited about our conversation and you started to talk about this is so many people in the military are interested in technology. And I think the bias for me when I got out was I knew of Google or Apple or maybe two other companies that I associated with technology. And you are in a role that is really foundational in almost every aspect of exciting technology. And whether we're talking about social media, tablets, online commerce, drones, VR, and I encourage listeners to check out, there's a YouTube video in the show notes that does a great job of showing all the touch points that a company like Micron interacts with. But what I think is so exciting is to think of almost like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, the thing that is empowering technology. And it's something that I don't think will come to mind for most veterans when they think of tech. They might think of the more things that they hold rather than the thousands of things that are in the thing that they're holding. So could you talk a little bit about the semiconductor industry and what attracted you to that industry?
Absolutely. And you really hit the last part when you said the semiconductor industry. The first part of that question was going down the tech industry. And while I think there's definitely tangentials to the tech industry, at least from my perspective, I think that I view myself as in the semiconductor industry. But being in the semiconductor industry, we have a direct input in basically all of the tech industry. And that semiconductor industry, again, and I hate to always go back to it about being part of something larger than yourself, it really is impacts everyone on the face of this earth. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone that the semiconductor industry does not directly or indirectly impact. And you'd have to look for some remote tribe that has really limited contact with the outside world. And even then, I would say that things like vaccine research, weather research, medical research has an indirect impact on that. So that stuff is what drove me to the semiconductor industry. And then what really refined that focus on Micron was its vision and mission and values, because they resonate with me, and I think they would resonate with a lot of military members. Micron vision is transforming how the world uses information to enrich life. And I think that was resonant in the base of your question as well. Micron's mission is to be a global leader in memory and storage solutions. And then our values, we have five values. They're people, innovation, tenacity, collaboration, and customer focus. And I think all of those are core to a successful culture, a successful working environment, a successful company, and successful customer relations. It fuels innovation, it fuels creativity. So those are all things that played a role with me ending up at Micron.
And I love the strong mission. We had Peter Drucker on the show forever ago, who works for Simon Sinek, who gave the TED Talk about Start With Why. And it really makes a strong case for establishing what your why is as a person, but also as a company. And so I can imagine that companies that are mission oriented will be really attractive to our audience. The other piece, the characteristic that I like about the industry you chose, my father always said growing up, he always liked businesses where you were one step removed from the consumer, where you were selling to other businesses that were then selling to consumers. And it meant you were dealing with a little bit more educated consumer because business owners are a little, or businesses are a little bit more rational than the consumer market. So I love that characteristic where the semiconductors that you're making go into every facet of life, but you're dealing with these educated buyers. Yes. One thing I wanted to ask about is the translation, before we go deeper, the translating of one's experience. And I think that so many people who listen to the show often ask about how to translate their background into whatever they do afterwards. And usually it turns out to be pretty linear. I did X in the military, therefore I will do X in the civilian world. And that can be great for many people, but for most, that's not a good formula. Do you have any advice about translating one's experience?
Yes. There are many MOSs, or military occupational specialties in the military, that aren't going to be that direct translation. It's not going to be, hey, I was a supply officer, so I'm going to work in supply and logistics. That's a pretty direct correlation, right? There are MOSs such as artillerymen or women, infantry officer, fighter aviator. Even if you're flying for United, you're not going to do any basic fighter maneuvers while you're flying for United, right? So for me, translating was really about taking many of the soft skills that I had learned and applying that to roles that I could fit into in the corporate sector. So if I think about fighter aviation, one of the things that we're taught religiously is you've got to think ahead of the jet. The jet moves really fast, and if you are thinking where the jet is right now, you're behind the jet. You've got to anticipate where the jet's going and be proactive about it. I think that mindset is a soft skill that's very transferable to many corporate industries, because you want to forecast where the business is going. If you are reacting all the time, you're one step behind the industry. You're one step behind the environment. You're one step behind all of your peers and competitors out there. So being able to think strategically and think ahead of the actions as they occur, I think is a soft skill that I took from the aviation realm and applied to the corporate sector. And I'd encourage many of the transitioning members to think about how their hard skills and their soft skills translate into roles that they want or desire.
I think that's great. I think that gives people a pretty wide berth to be able to make a radical transition. And I haven't heard it put that way before, but I think that's like the perfect articulation of the hard versus the soft skills. And I know that I kind of gravitated towards the hard skills. Like for me with submarines, the natural progression would have been a nuclear power plant on land in the civilian sector, building on one of those hard skills, but thinking about the soft skills about management or problem solving or things like that, that's ultimately what led me in my own career path. So I love that distinction. And I hope for listeners that gives you some fertile soil to till of thinking of what some of those soft skills are and the things that you enjoyed in that regard that you might be able to adapt to the civilian sector.
Yeah, one thing that on that, another really solid soft skill, I think, for military members is leadership. And by no way, shape, or form do I mean to imply that leadership is not resonant in the corporate world, because it is. There are some really good leaders in the military. And it's being a leader is quite different from being a manager. No one wakes up in the morning, and this is a quote from somewhere, and I don't know whose quote it is, but no one wakes up in the morning and says, hey, today I want to go to work and be managed. They wake up and they say, today I want to go to work and I want to be led, and I want to achieve something greater than I thought I could achieve. And that type of leadership that is cultivated in the military services, when you find your position in corporate roles, is very fruitful for the individual, the team they're developing, and the corporation. And it really helps in succession planning as well, because we are always thinking about developing the individuals beneath us so that they can progress into greater and greater roles. Mm-hmm. So that's another soft skill that I think translates. And I think people think about it, but they just generically think, yeah, I'm going to be a leader.
I love that. I love that distinction. I said a little bit at the start about Micron. I want to go a little bit deeper here, but could you maybe elaborate on, so people understand, you know, who Micron is, what they do, and then we'll kind of go deeper from there.
Yeah. So Micron is a semiconductor maker. We are maker of memory products from DRAM or direct random access memory to NAND flash memory to 3D XPoint. I already went over Micron mission and vision, so that sort of plays what Micron is. But Micron truly is everywhere. We're in everything from SD cards to cameras, from smartphones and computers to servers and data systems. We're in gaming to medical research. And it's all of that that basically fuels everything you do. Like when you woke up today, what's the first thing you did? You looked at your smartwatch, or you grabbed your smartphone, and you looked at the emails that you missed because you wanted to stay ahead on your project, right? And see you laughing, but we don't want to get too enslaved to our technology, but we all do it, right? So we are in everything. We fuel academic research. You know, right now, 30 days ago, different world. Right now, how many people are working from home? How do you think that happens? It's fueled by semiconductors in your computers and your smartphones and all the servers and the web cameras in your microphone. You know, when we were driving a car, where we have our automotive center of excellence in Manassas, Virginia. We have hundreds of semiconductors in every car, and we're driving towards autonomous driving. We fuel space exploration. We fuel medical research. In fact, I'd venture to say right now at this very second, there are some extremely intelligent scientists and doctors that are working on vaccines and a cure or treatment plan for COVID-19. Which is at the heart of this global pandemic right now. But these smart doctors and researchers are being fueled by the memory solutions and artificial intelligence that Micron provides in products that are ubiquitous. So that's Micron at a very wide berth. We impact so much greater than someone that just thinks, oh, Micron makes semiconductors. Okay, I'm willing to say we touch your life hundreds of times throughout the day, every single day of your life. Mm-hmm.
You know what? One thing that jumped out to me when you were saying that, I was with a group of people last night doing this. It's a veterans group doing something called purpose mapping. And one of the things that came through is how for most of us as veterans, service or support are very strong values. Like we have served our country. Many people like me, I wasn't on the front lines in any way. I was on a submarine, but we were supporting a fleet. We were supporting other things. And what the picture that you're painting is like, it seems like with semiconductors, with Micron, like it is supporting all of these different front lines. And I think that that's a really cool tie-in to think of not having to necessarily be in the spotlight, like supporting the cutting edge of technology across multiple industries is pretty exciting. And that kind of was one of the things I wanted to ask about is, what are the types of career fields that someone could enter into through Micron with such, it seems like such a pretty broad broad set of applications?
Yeah, so if you're coming from the military, I would say if you're a Navy nuke, an electronics technician, aviation technician, aviation electronics, aviation machinist, crypto technician, tank mechanic, something along those lines, your direct skill set translation to us would be our technician roles. You know, we have, I live 3 miles from our Lehigh fab, known as Fab 2 or Micron Technologies, Utah. We are a multi-billion-dollar facility. We have hundreds of tools. And when I say tools, I don't mean hammers and wrenches. I mean tools that are the size of Volkswagen Bugs, and they range in price from $20 million to $100 million. And those tools allow us to make semiconductors on 12-inch silicon wafers. And the technicians from those MOSs that I just listed off keep those tools running. If any of your viewers watch Gold Rush out there, a show I think on Discovery Channel or something, if the sluice box isn't running, if they're not washing rocks, they're not making money. But when it comes to making semiconductors, if our facilities aren't running, we're not making money. So we're not making semiconductors to have that positive impact on the world. So we run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In order to do that, we have to keep our tool availability extremely high. In order to do that, we need extremely intelligent, critically thinking technicians. So those MOSs go into that field. Now, much quicker, if you're like a Navy nuke engineer, a facilities engineer, part of the Corps of Engineers, you could roll into some of our engineering roles. If you are supply logistics, you could go into our logistics supply chain. If you're procurement, you could go into that. If you're cybersecurity, we have cybersecurity, and we're building that up for obvious reasons. If you're IT, you could roll into our IT. If you're working S1, which you and I both know is an admin department, now you can make the translation to an HR or an admin role. And then I'll go all the way to, if you're a corpsman or a military medic, you can make the translation to some of our ERT teams or emergency response teams. So those translations are there. And I know a number of military members go to various MOS translators or MOS calculators or whatever they call them. There's some accuracy to them. I think a lot of times they make connections that aren't as crystal clear as, hey, if you're a Navy nuke, you can be a technician keeping a $100 million tool up inside of a Micron fab.
That's great. We touched on this a little bit, but could you share a little bit more about why veterans might be a good fit at Micron, what they might enjoy about it?
Yes. So to go back to what we touched, part of something larger than himself, global impact. Now to go to some more of the tangible stuff. We like in the military, the environment of intelligent, critically thinking people, being agile, flexible, scalable. To go to the Marine Corps, you know, the MEU is extremely scalable, right? That stuff translates to how Micron does business. The people I work with are extremely intelligent. You know, to be able to make a semiconductor the size of your thumbnail, that we're measuring things in nanometers and angstroms, you know, thousands of times smaller than the width of your hair, right? That type of mental capacity is off the charts. So when you're working in that environment, it's extremely rewarding. Then we think about being flexible. You may come to work and you may have 2 PMs or preventive maintenances on your schedule. You're supposed to do one in the morning, one in the afternoon. That's fine. You do one in the morning and then you're coming out of the fab in your clean suit and getting ready for that next one. But then someone comes over to you and says, okay, hey, we have tool, you know, ABC123 that is experiencing issues and I need you to go troubleshoot it. It's no different than a jet landing from a sortie or a tank coming back from a mission saying, hey, this, you know, multi-million dollar piece of machinery is down. And in order for it to make its next mission, we need to troubleshoot to the root cause and fix it now. That's being adaptable and agile. And that mindset isn't only resonant at the technician level. That mindset goes all the way up to the CEO level. And it's pretty phenomenal what Micron does and what its leaders do. Sanjay is the CEO of Micron. He's cultivated an extremely unique culture that thinks critically and altruistically. During this crisis, Micron's donated $35 million to the COVID-19 research around the world. Just recently, in the past few days, Micron's now working with another company. So as hospitals have respirators and they reach the end of their service life or they break, they basically get warehoused. Micron's working with another company to pull these respirators, to consolidate them out of warehouses and basically take some of our technicians and go through new PMs, preventive maintenances or repairs on them and troubleshoot them to get respirators back up. Because we know as a society, as a global society, we're going to need this stuff to help people get through this pandemic and come out the backside, right? So that is thinking creatively and being agile. Those are all things that I think veterans find rewarding. And it's resonant in employee resource groups as well. There's a veterans employee resource group.
So two things I just want to point out. I don't think we talk about it nearly enough on the show, but what you touched on was... I think that most people, when they think about a job, they think about the location, the title, the salary for sure is the number one thing they look at. Very rarely do I hear people talk about the type of people they'll be working with. And I think that all of us can appreciate when we've been in high performing teams, when we've been around other people who have similar standards and similar desires for excellence, like how that is very motivational, how that makes us stronger and better at what we do. And so I love that you pointed out like the caliber and the intelligence of the people that you're working with. That's something great for listeners to really factor into where they're looking at working. Like it makes such a difference, the people you're around. And then yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, it's all about the people, right? Yeah. You know, the people are the lifeblood of any organization, and they keep it rolling. And companies that get that, to keep it simple, they get it, right? Yeah. Sanjay, I think 4 or 5 days ago, I know this is going to air a little later, so at the time this airs, probably about 2 weeks prior to the air date of this, Sanjay was on Jim Cramer's Mad Money. And on there, he announced that Micron, along with some other large companies, are taking a pledge to not lay off any team members over the next 90 days, right? That's because Sanjay understands the importance of people and that they are Micron's number one asset, and we need to keep our number one asset if we want to be profitable and successful coming out of this situation.
Well, that's the other thing I wanted to point out is that I think that many of us in the military, you see that in a crisis, a team or an individual or a unit can reveal their level of training or maybe who they are deep down. Not always, but I think a lot of times these crucible experiences can really distill us down and give us a sense of who we are. And one of the things I love that you're talking about is really looking at how companies are choosing to respond to a very new situation. And some of the things you pointed out of like, I mean, it's pretty creative to think like, hey, we have brilliant team members who fix very complex machinery. Why can't they fix ventilators and respirators? Why can't they go do that? Or the pledge, you know, I've seen some companies, and no judgment, I don't know their circumstances, but they have very proactively reduced their headcount, and maybe that's the right call for their company, but you're speaking to a decision from the top of like, we are going to do whatever we can to help our team, to help our company. And so I think it's a great thing that you're pointing out, and just for listeners in general to take time to observe how companies handle themselves through this crisis and seeing if those values align with what you're looking for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, if you're a small business owner, a mid-sized business, and you truly are up against the wall, you know, I don't want to fault people for layoffs, and I can understand that from a business standpoint when you crunch the numbers. But if you have the capacity, whether you're a small company, a mid-sized company, and definitely a number of our larger companies, if you have the capacity, the situation we're in now requires us to think differently than we used to. And it's not going to solely be the government that gets us through it. And it's not going to be solely individuals. And it's not going to be solely companies. It's going to be collectively everyone thinking outside the box and keeping calm and rational and having plans to work together so that we come out the backside as expeditiously as possible and we ramp our economy back up as quickly as possible and we go back to the norm. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some level set of new norm coming out of it, and I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it truly is a global community that's going to make this happen. And our companies, our business owners need to take that approach as well. And that's something Sanjay has been doing, and I think it's wonderful.
And that leads into the next thing I wanted to ask about is we're talking about the people. We're talking about the quality of people. And I wanted to learn a little bit more about your role, because you play, my term for it would be like a filter. Like you are in some ways a filter of who's on the boat and who's not on the boat.
Yeah. I guess to keep it somewhat circular, this goes back to probably like your second or third question, somewhere around there. It comes down to understanding yourself first. And when I was an instructor at VMF AT1, which is a fleet replacement squadron that teaches young men and women to fly the F-18. That's the largest squadron in the Marine Corps. When I was an instructor there, I came to the realization that what drives me, what I love, what I'm passionate about is three things, and they all sort of play off each other. One is operations, because it keeps an organization running. Another one, and they're in no particular order, is people. And I already touched on it. People are the lifeblood of any organization. If you don't have a progression plan, if you don't select the best people, if you don't always continue to raise the bar on the caliber of people you're going to let in your organization is slowly going to wither away. And then the third one is instructing, teaching, and developing. So those three things I'm all passionate about. My first job at FAB2 was a TPM, program manager, or TPM is an initialism for total productive maintenance, or it's sort of changed to, it's an initialism for total productive, yes, maintenance, and it sort of transitioned to total productive manufacturing. That was more on the operations side. And I loved it because every day, every week, we were looking at the availability of the tools, and we were keeping the tools up and running to accomplish our quarterly objectives and to keep our customers happy and to have that positive impact on the world. Realistically, I looked around and everyone else was an electrical engineer, a chemical engineer, you name it. And I wasn't an engineer. I was an economics and political science double major. I've gotten a couple masters since then, but I wasn't an engineer. And an opportunity presented itself to make myself open to talent acquisition. And I looked at it and said, hey, this is right up my alley too. It's about ensuring the organization is selecting the best people so that we continue to improve ourselves as an organization. And so made that transition and love it. Like you said, you're the filter. You're sort of the, I don't want to call it a gatekeeper, but you're definitely a conduit to ensuring that we acquire top talent every single selection.
I love that too, because we studied this in business school. It's like it is the never ending priority of a company to obtain the best and most relevant talent, and that never ends. The moment that focus becomes unfocused, the company starts to deteriorate. And it's interesting to think how critical of a role that is, and it doesn't get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask about is veteran employee resource groups. And for those who are maybe not out of the military yet, there's that one of the decision factors in my mind is size of company. And I started a company and have done a lot of work with startups where there's no training, there's no guidance, there's no manual. It's just kind of a lot of learning by doing. And one of the advantages of going to a larger company is that there is more training and there's more affinity groups. And so could you share a little bit about the veteran employee resource group, what that looks like and what you'd want people to know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I do, you hit a good point about being a large company, and you made me think that I need to shed some light on that. So Micron's 37,000 plus people around the globe. It's a last year for FY19, our annual revenue was $23.4 billion. Fourth largest semiconductor in the world. Only semiconductor manufacturer that makes DRAM, NAND, and 3D XPoint. Number 105 on the Fortune 500. 40,000 patents and growing in 18 countries. And we have 13 manufacturing sites across 13 and 13 customer labs, right? So it's large. It's not as large as different services in the military, but it is a very large company and it's a global company. anytime you're that large, you need to foster an environment that allows people to connect. And one of the ways to do that is employee resource groups that you just brought up. So we do have a veterans employee resource group, and it allows people to connect one back to like a previous career and talk about things they liked and things like that. But on a professional level, it now allows you to make some connections that weren't there when you walk in a large company, you don't have that. And so you can talk things through and go to people that have been in your shoes to see how best to make this transition a successful transition. And that's not, veterans aren't our only employee resource group. We've got a Micron Women's Leadership Network. We have Micron Young Professionals. We have a Pride and Pride Allies. We have Micron Hispanic Professionals. We have a Black Employee Network. We have 10 Years in Experience Network. So we've got 7 employee resources, resource groups to facilitate that type of community and reach across the globe. And then on top of that, we have dozens of activity groups, whether it's sushi eaters, our golfing, our skiers or snowboarders, and road bikers and mountain bikers. We have all of that because that also helps the culture thrive and it helps people connect. And when you're part of a 37,000 person organization, if they don't take that approach, you can lose the individual connections. And we are, when it comes down to it, you know, the vast majority of us are about the individual connections we can make and continue to grow as a person. And then to the training point, when I walked in the doors, the first thing I did, the first thing the company had me do was to go through an onboarding process. And that's an exposure to what Micron is and how it operates and what all of its business units are and what it does, right? Then after that, the next thing, my leader, who was Brett Peterson at the time, said, okay, Art, you know, to succeed in this TPM role, these are the courses you're going to have to take. And he outlined a number of courses, much like if you're going through an MOS or military occupational specialty school. I went through that school to truly understand my job. And so you talk about training. If you want to be successful, you need to have that type of training. And then as far as continuing to grow, there are mentoring programs. There's Micron University, so you can take courses on leadership. You can take courses on coding. You can take courses that aren't necessarily directly related to your role, but are indirectly related to your role because you think it's going to make you better in your position. So that's another facet of continued growth. And I can tell you, of my team member, my team members that I work with, one of the things I think has been most integral throughout my career is having a mentor. So for the past 2 years, every year I sit down with my team members and I challenge them to go out and get a mentor. And I think a mentorship program is best when it's selected by the mentee. So I just set guidelines for them to do it. I don't need to know who the mentor is or what they talk about. They could talk about me for all I care about. The point is that they have a mentor and they start thinking outside the box and they start thinking about what type of career path do I want and who is someone that I look up to that I can bounce ideas off of to help me grow in this role and this company. So that's something that I've challenged them to do. And you know, I hold myself accountable to the same standard. So I have a mentor over the past 2 years as well, 2 different ones, and I reach out to them and I have monthly meetings just like I expect my team members to do. So yes, there is that training from a formal training when you walk in the door, but there is additional training to continue to grow as a professional and as an individual. And that all allows Micron to continue to grow as a corporation.
I think that's you know, the thing that stood out to me, and I'm so glad you named mentorship, like the two things was community and mentorship. And I loved when you talked about, even with mountain biking, it's like finding people who have shared interests or values or backgrounds or whatever it is. And that's really only possible at companies of a certain size. And the mentorship aspect as well, like I love what you're talking about. I think it's so great to hear about this kind of one-on-one, showing someone the ropes, making recommendations, passing on knowledge. And that is possible everywhere. But what you talked about is how you've encouraged people to find a mentor that they really connect with, or someone that they really look up to, or someone where, you know, maybe they're in a position they want to be in. And again, that's just something for listeners to pay attention to when you're evaluating a company, is there are advantages of that, of having a larger scale organization where you have more possibilities to choose from someone who might be more of a role model for you than someone else, or just may gel better. So I love both of those things, both the sense of community and mentorship that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I know we're short on time here. Let me ask, first of all, if a listener was interested in learning more, what might be some next steps for them?
The first thing, learn themselves. I won't drop the anchor on that. Next is, if they see themselves working at a company like Micron, go out to our micron.com website, research us, research our roles. Go to Micron YouTube channel. I don't have it memorized off the top of my head. I want to say it's youtube.com/user/Micron Technology or something like that.
I'll add that to the show notes. Yep.
Okay. Do that. Use your network. You know, when I was in the military, to me, networking was not necessarily the best word. I thought it was about, like, you know, relationships rather than performance. But as I transitioned, I realized that's not networking at all. I started reading books on networking and definitely expanded that. So another thing is, in the military, one, we like to be private about our lives because of what we're doing. As you transition, you've now got to change that. You have to have a paradigm shift with how you approach that. You need to use your networks and your professional networks. And the default professional network of choice in the US and in many parts around the globe is LinkedIn. So if you're a transitioning veteran and you don't have a LinkedIn account, you've got to get a LinkedIn account. You've got to start building it. As you build it, now you can make those connections, whether it's me, whether it's someone like you who successfully transitioned from the military, you name it, but start to reach out and try to find the common threads, and don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, we've all been there, and we've all asked for help, and we've all asked for, you know, conversations to see how someone else navigated that transition. You know, I know you do it. I do it. You and I talked a couple weeks ago. I know you are the number one transitioning veterans podcast. So I'm not going to open up to everyone because I'll have far too many, but, you know, the first 20 people that reach out to you after this podcast airs, you know, send them my way and I'll make that personal connection. I'll help them, whether that's improving their resume, improving their LinkedIn profile, or getting them to think slightly, to change the aperture on their lens, to change the focal point and see what skills actually translate just because they simply weren't thinking about it. So yeah, all that stuff.
Awesome. And for listeners, I'll add all these links in the show notes, but I just want to highlight again, at beyondtheuniform.org/Micron, the first 20 people to enter information. I think it's really gracious of Art, not just to give us time in this interview, but to agree to connect with people one-on-one, to talk about their resume, to give advice. And that is, something that, you know, every year that I get out of the military, I'm appreciating more. Like, it's so valuable, and people are so busy. Everyone is well-intentioned and people are so busy. I felt that so much this last month. I've had, you know, friends and family reach out and I either don't respond or I just don't have time, and time is so scarce. So to get 20, you know, 25 minutes with someone like Art, getting his perspective, it's worth its weight in gold. So check that out at beyonduniform.org/micron. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, Art, and you can take it one of two ways. Either what's something that we haven't talked about that you want to make sure that listeners know before we wrap up, or just what's some final words of wisdom that you would like to leave with listeners?
Yeah, so that's great. And you get me to think. so in the military, we're oftentimes about PME or professional military education. Part of that is reading books. So yes, read the complimentary books that everyone's reading, from Brené Brown's, you know, Dare to Lead, to Speed of Trust, to Extreme Ownership. You know, those are staples, including Simon Sinek's books, right? His name came up earlier in the podcast. But a couple books I'll throw out that aren't necessarily on that category of, hey, I'm transitioning and I want to read these professional books. So one is The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. Phenomenal book. And it's a storytelling book. And it's a historically accurate book. And it talks about an individual and individuals enduring extreme hardship, i.e. the Great Depression. And then the boat is the 8-man shell or 9-man shell with the coxswain at University of Washington. And through that story, you start to learn about leadership and how to form teams and how to work well on teams. And then as you work well on a team, that allows teams and organizations to accomplish results that are beyond imagination. So that, I think, is a great book. It really stuck out to me in the past. I think I read it like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Phenomenal book, and especially the times we're going through now, I think it's applicable. The other book I'll mention is Radical Candor by Kim Scott. And then it's a book about being able to communicate feedback real time to individuals to continue to keep people developing to be the best professional they can be in their role. And I do think that a number of leaders do it well. I do think a number of leaders can always improve. And if you read Radical Candor, it'll give you ideas on how to improve that feedback form and frequency. That was also spun off to a podcast called Radical Candor with Kim Scott and another Marine named Russ Laraway. So that's the first part. One last thing that I thought of is, in the transition, when you're interviewing, don't go to the first interview thinking, don't go to your dream job and have it be the first interview and think you're going to get the role. Interviewing is a practice, and make sure that you go to a number of interviews, because the more you interview, the better you will get. And that comes from working in talent acquisition and seeing, at this point, thousands of interviews and being able to tell who's in their first or second interview right away, and someone who's interviewed a number of times. So don't put yourself in that position as you transition. But then also, as you interview, in the military, we're very humble and we all too often give credit everywhere else. And that is, yes, it's part of leadership 101. But when you're interviewing, there's a fine line to be able to talk up your accomplishments and your ability to achieve the objectives in front of you. So don't be afraid to sell yourself, and don't be afraid to sell yourself as a different perspective. There's fewer than 7% of the US population that is actively or has served in the military. Think about it, 7%. 100 people, there's 7 people or fewer that have been in the military. So you, regardless of your background, you have a slightly different perspective than others, and don't be afraid to sell that. I know when I interviewed for my initial role, one of the last things I said after questions was, you know, I'm not a chemical engineer. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I'm not an electrical engineer. If you want that perspective, I imagine you have 150 people walking around this building that have that perspective and you can hire internally to that role. I come from a different background and I will bring a slightly different filter to the problems that you face on a daily basis. And I don't know if that got me the job or not. I'd like to think that it helped, but what I want to convey to your transitioning military members is don't be afraid to sell yourself and don't be afraid to sell that you bring something different and valuable to the table.
What a gold mine there. So first of all, Boys in the Boat, and I'll put all this in the show notes, but such an exceptional book. I listened to that on audiobook while I was running, and I swear my splits were much faster. It's so motivational, so inspiring to hear this true story. So I'm so glad that you pointed that out. And I'm going to take on publicly, I'll read Radical Candor. I haven't read that, but the premise, I'm working in an environment where I'm like craving and soliciting from this team I'm working from with feedback, and no one is willing to give it. And it's like this sense of like what a gift it is when you work with people who are adept at real time, very direct feedback. And I imagine the book will speak to that, but I just, even the premise of it is so appealing. And you just hit on so many things at the end. And I love what you ended on of like, you know, highlighting your diversity as a strength of you've got all of these engineering backgrounds. I bring a different perspective and that's an asset to you as an organization. I think that's such an exceptional mindset. And what you tapped into on this selling piece is great. And also the interview piece that you said of not taking your dream job first, and that the same applies to fundraising for a startup. I learned that lesson the hard way. You don't go to your dream investor the first time because you're going to suck at it. It's just really good advice to get some reps underneath you for whatever you're doing before you really throw your hat in the ring for the other one. So just really appreciating those words there. It's you packed quite a punch into that last bit there.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, Art, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your offer to help those 20 individuals at beyonduniform.org/micron. And also thanks for the work that you're doing in your company in general, but also what you're doing to help people in the military transition to a great company and have you as a colleague. So I appreciate all of those things.
You bet. And thank you, Justin. Thanks first for your service, but then also thanks for after your service, you took a selfless, altruistic approach to, hey, how do I help others? And one of your mediums was this podcast. And, you know, I don't know how you do it. I know I couldn't do it, but I commend you for it. And I thank you for helping the thousands upon thousands of transitioning veterans through the pearls of wisdom that you convey through this podcast. So thank you, Justin. And thanks to all those listening who have served, or a spouse of a military member, or family, or connected to a military member. Thank you for what you all do on a daily basis. Justin and myself greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And one last thing is, stay safe, stay healthy. We are in a different world. You know, be smart about how you approach these, you know, next few days, few weeks, few months, whatever. Just stay safe, stay healthy, stay positive, be positive for your family, your kids, your coworkers. Make those connections. If you're a leader and you're connecting virtually, you've got to find a way to make it still a human connection, because you don't have that human connection that you did every day at the office, walking down the halls to grab lunch together or talking about your weekend or whatever. So be creative as a leader in this time to make it human, compassionate, empathetic.
I love
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, thank you. Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.